Well, good evening, everyone. How are we doing tonight? Doing great? Yes, it's good. So welcome to those of you who are visiting tonight to see David Ripley and for the rest of us. We've come to see him as well. And so I don't have much of an introduction for him other than we're going to be, in for a lot of information, but also just, the blessing of being able to hear a little bit about David's life and then the efforts that he's undertaken to preserve the sanctity of life in Idaho. And so I don't think there's much ado. I think I'll just give David as much of the floor as we can. And so let's welcome David Ripley to the stage here as he comes up to hopefully educate us and inspire us. So thank you, David, for joining us.
Bless you.
Bless you, too.
Thank you. Well, what a great room. And I just want to thank you all for being here. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity. My name is David Ripley. I'm Executive Director of Idaho Chooses Life, which is a ministry that we founded in January of 1995. So we've been at this a little over 30 years. And I came to the pro-life movement the hard way. I lost a son to abortion in 1994, about 6 months before that. And up to that point, I had been busy in Democrat politics, advancing a woman's right to choose. You named it, I pretty much believed it. And it wasn't until I lost my son to that abortion that I really came to understand what abortion is. I work in politics. That's the skill set and mindset that the Lord has given me. But abortion and life is not a political issue. It's not a red and blue issue. It's a life and death issue. And I appreciate this, the leadership of this church, in taking a stand for the gospel, because the heart of the gospel is life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Brothers and sisters, death is on the ballot in November. Death is prowling our streets and neighborhoods and our communities all across this state right now. The threat to babies has never been greater than it is today. But it's very important to understand that the threat to Idaho has also never been greater. And never in the history of this state have we faced a challenge like this. Prophet Joel says, multitudes in the valley of decision. That's this moment in Idaho history. Satan has been out to destroy God's handiwork since the beginning. Abortion is one of his most effective tools. He can't get to the Father. He can't overpower the Father. So the next best thing is to destroy and mutilate and sacrifice God's image in us. During those 50 years of Roe v. Wade in the state of Idaho, we estimate that 98,000 Idaho babies were killed in the womb. About 2,200 a year, give and take. If those children were alive today, they would constitute the fourth largest town in Idaho. And that doesn't count their children and grandchildren. But that's just a number and a demographic statistic. Because the real measure of what we lost, only the Lord knows. Because each one of you is a unique, one-time-only expression of some facet of God. There's never been another you, and there's never going to be another you in all of creation history. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And inside each one of us are gifts and talents that God has packed into that life for the purpose of bestowing blessings upon the community. So when you talk about 98,000, it's just a number. But the truth is, we don't know what we've lost. The ranchers and the farmers and the teachers and the nurses and the scientists and the engineers, the pastors. How many times, perhaps, has the Lord tried to give us a person with the keys to solving problems like cancer? The enemy right now is running ads trying to persuade you to give up on your own future. Idaho Chooses Life was named when we started this ministry. We had to come up with a name. And we were inspired to choose Idaho Chooses Life in response to the story of Moses in his last talk to the Israelites before the Lord brought him home. And Moses said to those chosen people, "Today, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." When we started this ministry in 1995, I don't think you could fairly say that Idaho was a pro-life state. There were many pro-choice Republicans in the legislature. There was the Democratic Party had begun its long death march. So it was more of a prayer that and a hope, an expression of the possibilities than it was a statement of fact. But God has blessed the work, and brick by brick and primary by primary and candidate by candidate and bill by bill, we have rebuilt a culture of life. The legislature enacted this law, the Defense of Life Act, 2 years before the Supreme Court overturned Roe, and it took effect in 2022. It's been in effect for about 4 years. And we estimate that over that 4-year period of time, about 6,800 babies have been saved. Just as importantly, about 6,800 babies, mothers, have been spared an abortion history. And fathers have been spared the loss of their children. In all the stories that you've read over the last 4 years about this law in the media and seen on your local news station, not one time in all those stories, which are pretty much relentless and weekly, trying to convince you that the Defense of Life Act is just about the worst thing that's ever happened to Idaho. And in those stories, they never talk about the lives that have been saved and the women that have been spared and the families that have been preserved. And it's just a mark of how sadly twisted and unhealthy this society is, because what could be more of a blessing than those lives? What higher, greater good is there in society than the people within it? But in none of those stories have you ever seen, not a single sentence, not even at the end of a story, any acknowledgement that Idaho is being blessed with life. You're going to be inundated. It's already begun. They have an awful amount of money. They just raised $250,000 last week to sell Idaho on this idea. There were two ladies up in Sun Valley who wrote them each $100,000 checks. They're trying to sell Idaho on the lie that abortion and abortion rights are at the heart of what makes Idaho great. Freedom, privacy, the right to choose. They tell you that the Roe v. Wade years were the golden years of Idaho, when women were truly free. Well, in actuality, that's not Idaho. In actuality, that's the period of the Idaho Holocaust. The true Idaho goes back to the beginning in 1864 when we became a territory. And in that first legislature, they gathered to create some basic laws governing the wild territory of Idaho. They wanted to bring civilization, so they said, well, we got to do something about train robbery. That's pretty bad. And cattle rustling is a problem. And horse thieving, we got to hang those people. But they took the time to say, and you know what else we have to deal with here at the very beginning of civilization out here in the desert, is we got to make it clear that killing a preborn baby, unless it's to save the mother's life, is a crime. The entire laws of Idaho in those days were about that thick as a comic book. Today it's about half a library, okay? But they thought so much about life, and they thought so much about honoring the principles of the Declaration of Independence, that they took the time to make abortion a crime even in that very first session. And that was the law in Idaho up until 1973, 110 years. And during that 110 years, doctors knew how to practice medicine without using abortion. Equipped with a buggy and a bag, they were out saving lives. And in fact, it was the medical association that demanded the legislature recodify that law several times over that 110-year period of time. Today, sadly, the medical association is my primary opponent in the legislature, and they're the primary spokespeople for this ballot measure. The campaign is going to try to play upon your natural sympathies, and it has been. You've been the subject of an experiment for the last 4 years, in case you didn't realize it. They've been constantly attacking the law, trying to tell you that there's something wrong, that doctors are leaving, that women are dying, and we can't practice medicine anymore because we can't kill babies. Firstly, everything you've heard about what's happening out there is a lie. Women are not dying. In fact, the maternal mortality rate in Idaho has declined each year since the law took effect. Some doctors are leaving Idaho, and they're leaving because of this law, because they can't do abortions here anymore. And we know that because they held a news conference saying, I'm leaving Idaho because I can't do abortions here anymore. Praise God. Bye. Feel bad for Oregon or wherever you're going, but I'm glad you're not here. Doctors have retired. It's got the highest burnout rate in medicine, the OBGYN specialty. But here's a fact. We have more OBGYNs practicing in the state of Idaho today than we did when the law took effect 4 years ago. We've had a net increase in OBGYNs each year since the law took effect. And I know that's shocking to you because you've heard nothing but the opposite. And that's all designed to scare you, to confuse you, and to get you to vote to resume the killing. That somehow, if we just start killing babies again, we'll get more doctors. And I've had this argument at the legislature each year. I mean, it's just over and over and over and over for the last 4 years. And it's actually pretty creepy. It reminds me of some kind of ancient pagan practice where if you just, when the rain stopped, if you could just sacrifice some children to appease the gods, it would start raining again. And so somehow you have some of the smartest people around saying to the legislature and now to the public, if we just resume abortion on demand, we could get a bunch of doctors to come here. Like, the more doctors you need, the more babies you got to kill, like some kind of appeasement of the gods or something. It's very peculiar and it makes no sense. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the junk that they're peddling. But I want you to keep your eye on the prize here. We got to keep our minds and attention focused on the main thing. The main thing of this ballot measure is not the doctors, and it's not the hospitals, and it's not the policy, and it's not women getting life-flighted to Salt Lake. The main thing is life. The main thing is death. Because this ballot measure would create a right in Idaho law for a woman to get an abortion. And it is forbidden for the legislature to interfere with that through the point of viability, which traditionally has been the point at which something like 99% of abortions occur. The main thing is abortion on demand, abortion as a birth control method is going to return to Idaho if this thing passes. And we can get into the weeds with them, which is where they want to fight this fight. They want to fight this fight on a woman's health or the doctors feeling sad or oppressed. They don't want to talk about those 2,200 lives because, of course, Idaho is not going to buy that. That's hard to sell. So let's talk about a couple of other issues here. They are attempting to use hard stories. I don't know if they're running over here yet, but over in Boise, they're running ads on KBOI talking about a mother who had complications and had to go to Salt Lake, she said, to get an abortion. Her life was not in danger, but there was some analysis that maybe her health was going to be impacted by this. And they're using that story to manipulate you, to manipulate your compassion or natural compassion into buying this whole truckload of death. We can't let that happen. We got to be clear-eyed about this and keep our minds and our eyes focused on the main thing. Are there complications attached to pregnancy? Of course there are. Are there hard stories where of miscarriage and pregnancy loss? Of course there are. But the question becomes, how do we respond to that? Do we thereby legalize the murder of tens of thousands of children in order to quote unquote solve that problem? And by the way, the problem has not been solved. The so-called problem has not been solved, certainly not by legalizing abortion on demand. And we haven't even fixed the problem of that woman was going through. And the fundamental law, the Defense of Life Act, is built upon, you can simplify it and clarify it like this. The legislature raised the standard of care in the state of Idaho. And it said to the doctors of Idaho, you must treat the baby as a second patient. And abortion must be used as a measure of last resort, not first. Unfortunately, many people in medicine were not trained to think that way. When Roe v. Wade came down, among the most virulent opponents were people in medicine. They said, look, I went to medical school to become a doctor so that I could help save lives and preserve life. I'm not ready to get forced into doing abortions and ending lives. That's not why I have a degree. Planned Parenthood recognized back in 1973 that they had a very big problem. And they went to work on solving that problem by changing the curriculum and by taking over certain parts of the medical education system in order to indoctrinate the next class of students into believing that abortion was health care. And today, virtually every medical student has to perform an abortion in order to get that degree. Today, there is no medical school that I know of that does the Hippocratic Oath anymore. They make it up, each class and each medical school makes up some kind of funky oath they take at the end. And I saw one a couple years ago in the University of Minnesota Medical School. Class had written it together. It was like watching some kind of pagan ritual. It's very, very creepy. And nowhere in that oath was the fundamental do no harm. Because that's a problem. We got a glimpse during the COVID years of how corrupted medicine has become, and the root cause of that corruption is abortion. The accommodation of killing in part as part of a medical education and medical ethics and medical practice has begun to corrupt the entire profession. That's not to say that all doctors are bad or all doctors are corrupt, because there are many fine doctors. But as an institution, especially those institutions that govern the practice, hospitals, the Idaho Medical Association, the Association of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, which licenses every OBGYN in the country, has been overtaken by Planned Parenthood's agenda. And at all costs, they will defend abortion. at a woman's right to choose. Right before the law became effect, the Defense of Life Act took effect in the summer of 2022. 300 doctors and nurses and administrators signed a public letter. There was about 300 of them, declaring that the legislature had no business interfering in the patient-doctor relationship. That the decision to abort a child was between the doctor and the mother, and it was none of your business. Well, brothers and sisters, I can hardly think of a more dangerous, deadly idea. The legislature's job is to protect the public well-being. Those people are licensed by the legislature, your representatives. They are given privileges and authority and a special place in this society, but in exchange, they are accountable for that privilege and for that special position in society. And the legislature's job is literally to protect you and to hold them accountable. There's an arrogance in the medical profession today that is very disturbing, and I argue poses a threat, not just to babies, but that kind of thinking and that mentality is a big problem that we've got to begin addressing. It's the same thing you see, okay, now rising up from teachers, for example, and their professional associations who tell parents and taxpayers and legislators, hey, what I do in my class, I'm the professional here, and what I do in my classroom is none of your business. That thinking, that arrogance, is destroying the lives of our children. We have every right to know what's happening in that classroom. We're paying them for one thing, and those are our children for another, by the way. The choice before Idaho is a fundamental one in November. And the reason that it's such a danger to our future is because for the first time in history, this abortion thing is not going to be imposed upon us by some authority, you know, some court or the legislature or Congress or the U.S. Supreme Court or somebody. And then we're left trying to grapple with it and do the best we can with something imposed upon us. What's unique and deadly about this circumstance is that every single Idahoan is going to be able to go to the polls. And they're going to choose life or death. Like Nero. For tens of thousands of children. And because as individuals, we're going to be asked to vote on the death of others, there will be spiritual consequences. There will be consequences for us as individuals. There will be consequences for this society. And it's not David Ripley telling you that, because who cares? God Almighty said that. There will be curses upon the land if we choose death. It's a promise as good as gravity. You look around, we watch the evening news, right? We're in the most beautiful place in the world. We're blessed. Those blessings are the result of God's promises. This legislature has chosen life over and over and over and over again. And God is faithful. You look around and you see Minneapolis, or you see LA, or you see Portland, or you see New York, or Chicago, and you go, I mean, it's heartbreaking. You go, could this possibly be America? Could this be America, a city in America? This San Francisco, man, that was the place to go. It was such a beautiful place to go. You couldn't pay me to go there today. What's happening? Why is that happening? Well, brothers and sisters, those towns and those states have embraced death. And death has embraced them back. We cannot let that happen here. We cannot let that happen to our children and grandchildren. I'd like to... I'm happy to take questions either here or out there or whatever. I'm sure you have some. But I want to share with you a letter I got. We just put out a fundraising letter. Of course, we're being outspent about, I don't know, 3,000 to one or something. And I just picked this up from in our P.O. box this week, and woman named Joan wrote me back and said, thank you for including me in your mailing. Just want to make sure I stay on your mailing list, please. This is the worst news that Idahoans could possibly get, to say the least, !! It makes me sick to my stomach. The midterm seemed to be the beginning of the end of this no good radical threat to life. If it even comes close to passing, God forbid. Yes, I am praying. I am alone. I basically have not any family. I'm a disabled, very low income senior of 78. Please keep me up to date. Thank you. And then she gave me her address, and at the bottom again, she says, I'm so sorry, I'm so broke this month. My monthly fixed income is so terribly low as it is. I'm on food stamps as well this month, and I'm in trouble already. And in that envelope was this dollar. Of course, it immediately brought to my mind the story of the widow's mite. What a precious gift this dollar is. The Lord calls upon us to give what we have and to give of what He has given us. And she gave her utmost here. So I just ask in closing that you commit yourself to getting educated about this thing, getting the facts, because you have neighbors and friends and family to save from this terrible, terrible mistake. I'm going to ask you to be praying for me and the ministry in this battle, that God will deliver us from this evil. And I'm going to ask you to break open your checkbooks and your wallets and donate money to this ministry. and donate while you can, faithfully and repeatedly until we get through this terrible fight. God will bless you for your generosity and your kindness, I guarantee you. With that, I just want to thank you again for this great privilege of your time. May the Lord keep you, and may the Lord rescue Idaho.